What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, and more. Follow Elliot in the Morning everywhere social at EITM Online.
It's Elliot in the Morning, coming off a sold-out show last night. Please welcome Smith and Tell.
Thank you so much.
Hello.
Hey, hi, how are you?
We're great.
Good. Your song is fantastic.
Thank you so much.
And you even said during the break how excited you were. You wrote it yourself.
Yeah, it was a joke. We write all our songs ourselves.
How was last night?
It was fantastic. Like, it's been 3 years since we've been able to play in the U.S.
Right. And has it really? Well, yeah, I guess so. Pandemic.
Yeah, 2019.
The last time that you were in the U.S.?
Yeah, the last show.
Have we changed much since the last time you were here?
People are still as sweet. So,
like, you know what? That is the general consensus when you ask people who live here. We're all so sweet and we're all so nice.
Yeah,
so
it was really nice.
But it was good last night.
It was amazing to see.
It was a sold-out show, and it was like we met like these like fans that we love, you know.
Yeah, so. Fantastic.
So you had a sold-out show the other night. You had a sold-out show last night, and then we're in Philly tonight, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Right. Most bands would say no, not getting up and coming and doing a stupid radio show. We're going to get on the bus and go ahead and make the trip.
I mean, we're big fans, so.
Okay. So, no, I do appreciate it.
Well,
it's very kind of you. And you guys, like, are all dressed up and everything.
Oh, I mean, we haven't changed since last night.
No.
Oh, did you guys go hard last night?
We slept like this. And then we woke up, like, full makeup.
So did you guys go pretty hard last night?
No.
No, it was pretty...
Like, you have to stay strong on tour and, stay sane.
So are you guys, like, pretty regimented and everything when you're out on the road? No.
But like in the beginning, you have a thing that you think that you're gonna be like sane.
You know, you feel like this is gonna go like great. Like
Let's
we're
stay healthy
sleeping,
and stuff,
we're
you know?
Healthy.
Right.
And then there's a little hill that
it's like
you
3 days
fall
in. It's like tonight.
And then but for the most part, like you said, so that's normal. Like you start off, you're good, you're healthy, you know, we're eating okay.
Yeah.
And then there's, I'm assuming they have it in Sweden. Then it's like McDonald's starts popping
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
Right.
And here is like so many places like Chick-fil-A.
I know. Are we? Oh, you know, time out. Now we'll get back to Chick-fil-A in a second. Listen, rules in Sweden are much different than the U.S.
Oh.
Yeah, don't say F.
Oh,
yeah,
sorry,
don't
sorry,
say sorry. Don't if it starts with an F,
gotcha.
An S, or a body part with a C.
Yeah.
don't. Gotcha. Okay. All right. Very good. So back to Chick-fil-A. No, you don't have that overseas.
We don't. Actually.
We don't. No.
No. What do we have in Sweden?
I've never been to Sweden. I'll tell you everything I know about Sweden.
Mm? Okay, go.
Nicholas Backstrom, Henrik Lundqvist.
Oh.
Hockey players.
Yeah, hockey.
I'm out. Yeah, no, literally, I've told you everything I know about Sweden at this point. I'm dying to go there, though. I'm dying to go. Everybody says it's so beautiful.
It's beautiful. Like, southern Sweden in the summer, it's beautiful. And Stockholm in the summer is beautiful.
And now is Stockholm home for you guys?
I mean, like, home is, like, everywhere now. Because we, like, I live in London, but I also, like, we have a home in South Sweden and also Stockholm and then London. It's like, we just go everywhere.
Yeah, we're a little bit all over the place.
Right.
Yeah.
So now, wait, so back me up. So Marie and Victor, you guys are teenagers when you, like, young teenagers, when you met each other?
Yes.
Yeah. At some, was it like some local music event or something in some little Swedish town?
That's right. It's a place called the Tivoli, which is a small rock club in our hometown, Helsingborg.
Right. Wait, say that again?
In Helsingborg?
That's where we're putting our second Chick-fil-A. First one, go to Stockholm. Got to go to Stockholm.
Yeah.
Helsingborg, though, that'll be the second one we go. You realize that if we opened a Chick-fil-A in Sweden, you would never have to play another show, and I would never have to be a disc jockey. We would just make so much money just selling chicken sandwiches.
Let's do it.
How would they not open there? Anyway, so you're at this little club in Helsing, whatever, and
Helsing, whatever.
what was the event?
This was like they had an event on Wednesdays that was like really big in the young community called Popcorn.
It was talking about like a competition in a way.
Yeah, it was like a music competition, and then you played your songs, and you were really nervous and young, and you had Converse, and like your fringe was like really down in your eyes. And then I played a few songs that I wrote, and Victor was in the audience.
Yeah,
and
then like A&R.
Like an A&R. No.
I was 16.
So wait, so you weren't part of the competition?
No. I was just part of her life before her knowing it.
Right. So, but did you two know each other at that point?
No.
That's when we met.
And I then, had a secret plan.
And Victor wrote to me on an old legendary site called MySpace.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I did, and I was like, I'm a drum teacher, and like, because I used to play drums,
right?
Like that was my main instrument. So I reached out and like, you know, like trying to sell in yourself. I'm like, yeah, I'm a drum teacher. I'm 16 years old. And she was like, what the like,
right?
Yeah, so like,
good catch, good catch. You did better than last time. You didn't even try it last time. So you send her a note on MySpace.
I did, yeah.
And you're like, hey, I'm a drum teacher.
Yeah.
Right now, let me ask you this, Maria. When you were whatever the popcorn thing was, did you even have a drummer up on stage with you at that point?
No.
No.
I did not like drummers back then.
So why the hell would you even send her a note?
So the thing is, was like, she replied me back and said, like, you know what? Drums destroy my music. That's what she said.
Wow.
I was like,
wow.
And thank you. He looked so young. He's like, I'm a drum teacher, like, really, like, cocky. And then he was like, he had this, like, hair, like, blonde hair up. He looked like a Backstreet Boy.
Right.
A young, like, Backstreet Boy from the 90s. And I was like,
But
it still got interested. I was like, let's try it.
Right.
And then he brought a bass player and a pianist, and all of a sudden we were a band.
Yeah, we were like 10 piece band.
Yeah.
So, but now, did you, be honest, did you reach out because you were like, I'm 16, she's very attractive.
Yes, I'm single, and yeah.
Yeah,
no,
and
that was not it.
You're a lying sack.
No, that was, this was the thing, like, we did.
I think he reached out because my music was awesome.
Yeah, that's actually true.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And then, like, we got in, like...
It wasn't so good back in the days. But
Wait, your music wasn't
good
back then?
I mean, it was good, but it was...
It was like, catastrophic.
Was it catastrophic?
Yeah, I mean, it was like...
And you still found me?
I mean, like, no. But, I mean, like, what we did in the beginning...
Yeah,
we had, like,
course,
10 genres in one song.
You know what? It was still the best in Helsingborg or whatever the town is. I can't... I'll never get it right.
Still best in Sweden. Very bad.
But But that's how everything came together. So you're like, sweet, I got in as a drummer.
Yeah.
I have these other guys that I'm friends with in a band, and we're going nowhere. So we're gonna attach ourselves to Maria.
Exactly. I mean, we started, like, a duo then, because, like, we created this band, and then we were like, these other people don't do
it.
Are
you guys in school at all at this point, at 16?
Yeah.
I mean, we were in school, but we weren't in school. You know what I mean?
No, I don't.
Finger crossed.
You just didn't go, you didn't.
Exactly.
I'm not going to find your graduation diploma hanging on the wall.
Yes. I went to school.
Yeah, thank you. Thank
then
you,
then I went rehearsing.
Right, okay,
every
very
night.
Good. And yeah. Then and Victor would wake up in time for the rehearsing.
Yes.
Right, not so much the school part. That's exactly. Okay. That's all right. I got no problem
with
that.
I got my graduation, but I weren't there.
So 16 years old, that's when you guys started, like, doing all your stuff together?
Yeah, I think Victor was 16 and I was 17. So we've known each other for a long time.
Yeah.
But where is the... So, like, in reading up, in understanding, there is a point where it gets romantic, though, between the two of you.
Yeah.
Was it just inevitable? Like, is it just that there's that much creativity and you guys are working together that much that all of a sudden he doesn't look like a Backstreet Boy anymore. And now, like, now you're attracted to him.
But it's like, it's almost like that story, you know, like I looked like a punk, he looked like a Backstreet Boy. We were very different. We're still very different people. But like opposites attract. Like Victor was very, you were playing funk and like fusion. And I was listening to all this like Nirvana stuff. And then it was like we merged this together. And then we found that we're very like, we're not so different on the spiritual level.
No. Right.
Like, we've been through a lot of things. Yeah. And then when we started talking, we became best friends. And after that, we fell in love, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
But now the and I don't want to skip too far ahead in the story, but not together anymore.
No, not anymore.
No. Isn't that weird?
No,
everyone is asking.
It was very weird in the beginning, but like I think both me and you have such a strong bond. Like from the, it comes from friendship and it comes from like music.
Yeah.
So like taking that, you don't take anything like really apart when you, because we have such a strong foundation in the music and the friendship.
Yeah, we were friends first. Then we became a couple. Of course, it was weird, like breaking up. Yeah. It was a rough first year, and like we had to.
How long were you a couple for?
10 years.
10 years.
Shut up.
Yeah.
10 years?
Yeah.
Oh, that, okay. So the, honestly, I thought you were going to say like, nah, a year, maybe.
No, 10 years.
No, that's a long run.
Yeah.
That's a real long run. Yeah. How did you, so how did you sit down and go, you know what, after 10 years, not so much.
I think we realized that like after 10 years and you've gone from being like, in your 20s to your 30s, like a lot of things happen.
Sure.
But we realized that we needed to find out who we were apart.
Right.
As well. Because it wasn't healthy working together all the time, going home all the time. It was like, it was a bubble. Like we needed to split.
So like everybody needed to kind of have their own experience, their own, their kind of like their own mess going on. And I mean that in a good way.
Yeah.
I
like
mean, we hadn't been like teenagers. We haven't like tried to like, you know, just be out like on clubs and like, you know, like meet random people. We hadn't done that in that way because we were just working all the time. So,
yeah.
So that we became that when we were like 28.
You know,
It's kind of like, sure,
we need to live a little and also find out who we are without each other.
Right.
But then we couldn't let go of each other because when we make music, it's the best thing in the world.
Is it I was going to ask though. So like during those 10 years or so now you're 16, 17 years old and you guys are like bonded up musically. Mm-hmm. And then it gets romantic and then you're a couple.
Mm-hmm.
Was it different writing and creating music? I mean, it's your art, right?
Mm-hmm.
So was it different making art after your lives became separate? Because I would think things are taking off, things are going well. Mm-hmm. Don't ruin the recipe.
Mm-hmm.
No, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we
it's a good question.
It's a good question.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think that the way that we communicate is through music, and we communicated a lot through music during the first year.
Right.
It's like I wrote something, like a little nervous playing it in the studio. He understood exactly what I meant. We produced it. It's like we found our friendship and the love for each other again.
What kind of like stuff were you writing? Where he was like, you knew, like that song, "I Hate You, You're a Dick." He was like, no. Oh, I know. I think I know what that one is.
No, but like, if you know a song called Parallel Universe, like that, that's a song that we wrote like just a few months after.
Mm. I got
to that. Each other, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the part where you split up and then you go do that.
We're all in the split up vibe now.
Are you really? No, tell me you're not like crazy on the road right now. That would be really awkward.
No. It's just funny that we talk about it.
No. But what I was going to say is I read something and this goes back, I think, when you were just getting to kind of like learn about each other and know about each other. And I don't know anybody that's done this, but I love it. Is you guys were talking about, and I can't remember where I read it, but it was you had your own iPod, right? And you had your own iPod. But to learn about each other, you would switch iPods with each other for a day
yeah.
to learn like each other's influences
yeah, yeah,
and
yeah,
what
yeah.
you got. That is the, that's, I mean, it sounds crazy, but that's awesome. I love that.
I found so much stuff and you found
so. Worst day in my life.
I'm just kidding. Worst day in my life.
I still have trauma from this day.
It's like all Nirvana, like Blink 182. And like, yeah.
So you're like the total, like, kind of like Rocky chick.
Yeah.
And you are the.
Yeah, the posh boy, yes. No, but it's like, I used to, this is the weird thing though, because I started up like, my uncle is a drummer like from ABBA, and it's like, so we all always listen to like very much pop music.
I'm sorry, did you just say your uncle was the drummer for
ABBA? ABBA, yeah, ABBA. Yeah.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding, that's not bad. Those things are all right.
But it's like, we good always drums. Listen to like.
You know what? I didn't think that band was that much.
No. No, but it's fine. So like we had a lot of pop music going on, also like funk. So I think like in the start, I always listened to like funk and pop. And then when I became 18, I started listening to death metal. And
wow, that's a hell of a jump.
And like black metal and death metal. So like I became like even worse than you were like in that lane. Like, you know what? Like you listened to rock and then you were like, turn that thing down.
Yeah. But I guess like when you were a teenager, you find your way in, like, for a drummer, of course, it's, like, really interesting to listen to heavy metal. Because it's like math, and it's fast, and it's fun, you know. Like, you want to go all over the place.
Mm.
So, like, music is not a genre. It's, like, there's good things in almost everything.
Right. No, I couldn't agree more. I love that. I do. At what point, so you start making music, and you start putting stuff down, and like, at what point does it become, like, Smith & Tell become a thing, even, like, in your own little area?
I think we made a few, like, weird experiments in the beginning, like you do, where the music sounded not like first it was like acoustic, just band, like very plain, like simple band style. And then we found, you know, computers and stuff.
Yeah.
And that was very interesting because all of a sudden you could do like anything. It was too interesting.
Right.
So it started sounding crazy.
Right.
Yes.
And that's why I said it was like 10 genres in one song.
Yeah, that's
like
what
3
you meant.
Minutes, 10 genres. It started off like metal, and then it's coming to like a pop chorus. And
yeah.
And like a little bit of country thrown in.
Yeah.
Is country music big in Sweden?
No.
But the thing is, we actually starting to like make like country music work, like for a commercial purpose.
Wait, are you really?
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
We had,
go
like,
you.
This like legendary like country artist in Sweden. She was like, thank you so much for making country like popular again. like folky, yeah.
So the so you get out of, is it hard to break out of Sweden? I mean, there's a big music scene in Stockholm. There has to be. It's a big major international scene.
I mean, it took us like 6 years to like properly like, because we had our first like big song
right
after six years of doing, you know, so
after experimenting and finding,
and also like we write for like other artists as well, so like for the commercial side and like write hit songs, that almost became like a negative thing for us. So we tried to find our way to like communicate our emotions, but also like, you know, to make it catchy, you know.
Wait, so writing a hit song was considered a negative?
Yeah, because you do it to other artists, and that was like almost like an ugly.
Like
thing.
we always got connected to the artist that we wrote to, we write so many different things.
Sure.
So I think in the beginning people got a little bit confused. We were like, no, this is for the artist. This is not us. And then we were doing our own thing on the side.
Right.
And then. Finally, it took off.
If I were your manager, I would have said, "Hey, the hits that you're writing for those people, let's go ahead and keep those for us." let's get it go. During those 6 years that it took to break, at any point did you guys come close to not being Smith & Tell though? Like, at any point did you think like, "This isn't going to make it"?
Never.
No.
You know what? Good for you.
No.
Never. I mean, we would be Smith & Tell, and we would make our music no matter if it would be blowing up worldwide or if we would play in a small
three of your friends and that would be
club.
It just you have to do music.
That's great.
We die other
that's great. No, I love hearing that. That's passion, right? All right, what are we gonna play?
Okay, I think we should start with I Feel in the Wind, our new
song that you played
It's such a great song. It is such a great song. And you wrote it yourself, for yourself.
A little song to bring some hope
okay.
into a world that has been crazy for a while.
Can find a drop in a drying sea. You'll find light in the darkest creeks. Past the pain lies the keys to heaven. There's still life in the Armageddon. If you can see the spark on a salty cheek, you'll find calm in the apathy. And you'll see growth in the vast depression. Pain is love at its very essence. Then you told me, and you told me.
I feel it in the wind, my dear. The sun is gonna reappear. Good days are gonna come along. Hold on, hold on. I feel it in the wind, my love. The sky is gonna clear up. That grieves, I'll be damned that it still believes. Past the pain lies the keys to heaven. There's still life in the Armageddon.
And you told me, and you told me. I feel it in the wind, my dear. The sun is gonna reappear. Good days are gonna come along. Hold on, hold on. I feel it in the wind, my love. The sky is gonna clear up. Good days are gonna come along. Hold on. Coming, the tide is turning. I feel it coming. You just gotta wait and believe. I feel it coming. Your tide is turning. I feel it coming.
You just gotta wait and believe.
I feel it coming. The tide is turning. I feel it coming. You just gotta wait and believe. I feel it coming. The tide is turning.
The sun is gonna reappear. Good days are gonna come along. Hold on,
hold on.
I feel it in the wind, my love. The sky is gonna clear up. Good days are gonna come along.
Elliot in the morning, Smith and Teller with us. Quick break, more with Smith and Tell next.
Connect with Elliot in the morning on Facebook at EITM Online.
It's Elliot in the morning.
Like you're coming home.
Smith and Teller with us. I Feel It in the Wind is a new single that's out. Tour is underway, running around. All right, let's play another song, then we'll talk a little bit more. But all right, here's Smith and Tell.
I've been keeping secrets from you, dear. There's things in me I'm scared of you, my fear. He crackles in the ground.
You've been coming closer to the edge, wondering what goes on in my head. And so I shut you out, yeah. And I guess that we don't need to be falling apart, 'cause you will always have a special place in my heart. I never wanted this to end. Oh, can you forgive me, friend? 'Cause I fell in the hole, in the hole, in the hole. My heart was turning cold, turning cold, turning cold. I never wanted this to end. Oh, can you forgive me, friend? And I promised you that we would never change, that you and me would always stay the same. And how I let you down, yeah.
Take it down.
And I guess that we don't mean to be falling apart, 'cause you will always have a special place in my heart. I never wanted this to end. Oh, can you forgive me, friend? 'Cause I fell in the hole, in the hole, in the hole. My heart was turning cold, turning cold, turning cold. I never wanted this to end. Oh, can you forgive me, friend?
Take it away.
Forgive me, friend. You forgive me, friend, for breaking us apart. 'Cause in the end, I didn't want this to end. You forgive me, friend, forgive my ugly heart. And I guess that we don't mean to be falling apart, 'cause you will always have a special place in my heart. I never wanted this to end. Oh, can you forgive me, friend? 'Cause I fell in the hole, in the hole, in the hole. My heart was turning cold, turning cold, turning cold. I never wanted this to end. Oh, can you forgive me, friend?
Take it away, take it away.
Elliot in the morning, Smith and Teller with us. Philly tonight, which I'm sure will be another sold-out show. All right, let me back up for a second. So we're breaking out of Sweden. By the way, is the Swedish Grammys a big deal?
It is a big deal.
Yeah, it's, no, I would imagine
it's
so.
The biggest deal.
So that's nice. So you end up winning a big Grammy Award, yep, in Sweden.
Yeah.
When did you come to the U.S. for the first time?
That was 2017, I think, but we didn't like do like shows like that, you know. It was more like you played
for record people, a little bit
like that,
right? So it was coming over just kind of like as a little bit of a showcase and stuff.
Like showcase things.
Were you nervous coming over?
Oh my god, so nervous.
Were you really?
We were so nervous.
In Sweden, also like the American dream is such a thing here, so like, everybody's expecting a lot as well, you know. Like,
wait, say that again.
In Sweden,
right?
Like the American dream of like making it in America is a big thing. So like you don't want to also like, because people were knowing we were going there. So like you don't want to like make people disappoint, like there's a part of you.
Oh really?
Yeah, I mean like you want to carry the torch, you
was
know?
it like that though, so like when you're in Sweden and then like to make it to London, Like, is that as big a thing, or is it like, oh, you're going to America?
America's bigger in Sweden. It's
right.
Also because like, Sex and the City is like, it's so much like,
I mean, it's
thing. No, it's so much things that we like, we're used to. Like, we
so everybody saw Sex and the City and they were like, oh my God, yes. You're going to New York.
Yes, exactly. That's the thing though. Yeah, it is.
So the first time you come over was really just to kind of expose yourself to like the industry and
yeah,
stuff
and
like
to
that.
To be honest, we were doing a lot of writing. Mm. So like,
you guys write nonstop, don't you?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, like is that more fun than the actual performing of it? Like, do you like the writing that much, or is it being on stage with everybody around?
It's two very different things. Mm. Like after a summer when we have been touring a lot, or like after a tour, it's really nice to go back into the studio.
Yes.
But when you're in the studio for a long time, you really want to get back out on the road. So I think we have the perfect combination of. Like there's times for everything. Like you,
right.
You can go and be in like a normal person, just like have breakfast, take your bike to the studio, work, go home, and you need that to be able to stay sane in the brain as well.
Right,
so. Sane in the brain.
What yeah. is the first time you come over? But you said there was a lot of pressure because you didn't want to let people down. But at that point, you were just coming over just to say hi. Yeah.
I mean,
will.
The pressure was obviously coming from the inside.
Yeah, of course.
It was like,
yeah,
I don't
sure.
think that no
and we've been
was
feeling
like...
that. No, but I mean, we've been feeling that pressure since we were small. I mean, at least me.
Yeah. And then when did you come over the first time to like tour? I'm assuming first time over New York and LA were the visits.
Yeah.
After, like, when did you come over the first time to like start doing shows and start playing?
It's 19, right?
2019.
Yeah.
Because Forgive Me Friend, the song that we just played.
Sure.
It came out on the fall. And then we ended up doing a few like we did K-Rock and we did... a few like festival things.
Yeah, sure.
Which was really interesting. It was like a brand new experience.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Was that part scary where now you're playing for American audiences?
Yeah, because you don't know if people are going to come either.
And it was like 6,500 people.
Like, yeah, it was like a crazy amount of people that had discovered Forgive Me Friend. And we heard like Forgive Me Friend playing like in the mall and things like that. And that was like it was an experience to come
beautiful.
Over. And,
but you got that in Sweden?
Like, yeah, we already had it in Sweden.
Yeah, so, I mean, it can't be that foreign. Although, I guess it's a foreign
it's
country.
Like it's on the other side of the world.
Right.
And that's... Yeah.
I mean, we go, like, 10 hours with a plane, and then we're like, oh, it's still here.
And that, you know, there's always a first time. And that was the first time we heard our own song, like, on the radio here.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's
kind of
cool. Oh,
yeah.
I like that. That's pretty exciting. So now, do you... Obviously, you feel comfortable here now.
Of course, yeah.
And I feel like our country has, I don't want to say adopted you, but like things are going well. Things are going great.
Yeah.
I thought I read somewhere where you said for Smith & Tell, best summer ever.
Yeah.
Is it really?
This summer has been, it's been so nice, like being able to tour again. And like last summer we did, like we were touring a lot last summer, like during COVID, but we did like outside shows.
Right.
So it was like 500-600 people. You couldn't be anymore. And we were doing like sitting down concerts.
Right.
And then this summer, like we got to do the festivals. It was like 10,000 people. It's like, it was like really like doing the thing for real.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Almost for the first time with all the songs that we had released during the pandemic, which was really
so
was fun.
I went and I was watching the video for I Feel It in the Wind.
Mm-hmm.
And the video's great. I mean, I know it's a lyric video, but it's not just the lyrics. Like, there's, you know, footage and everything going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, when you see, like, the crowds jumping around and going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And the song is great. I told you that when you walked in. I love the song.
Mm. Thank you.
And so, like, when you watch the video, like, people are going nuts and people are having a good time. And it's this really big, fun, upbeat song.
Mm.
But when you go through and, like, you really watch the lyrics pour out, it's a pretty emotional song.
Mm.
Yeah, it's very emotional. But I think that's what we do. We tend to, like, mix. We're very mixed emotional people, and we tend to make upbeat songs with very emotional and deep lyrics.
Mm. Right.
Because that's how we
It's almost like
feel.
Philosophical in a way.
It's like, that's how you can find the strength. Like, if you only sit there and write ballads and like I'm so sad and stuff like that.
We trick people into philosophy.
No, but like if you only do that, you're going to go into the sadness. Like, we want to feel the strength from the struggle.
Right.
And that's why we write upbeat songs with pretty intense lyrics.
Is that the intense lyrics? That's a very good way to put it. Is that a pretty personal song?
It's a very personal song.
I mean, songs is very like they're very personal.
Yeah, like we don't ever release a song that is like, oh, this sounds good. Like it's always a page of the diary from our lives. So
is it nice when, I mean, the obvious answer has to be yes. Mm-hmm. When, because you put so much into the songwriting, like you said, it has to mean something. It has to be really personal. Yeah. Let's go back to the Mercury Lounge show for a second.
Okay.
The story of the girl who brings you the necklace.
Yeah.
Mm.
And so the quick story.
I have it here. I have it on me.
Yeah, I saw it. It's nice. It's beautiful. Well, tell the story. Tell the story.
Is that, like, a lot of our fans, they're special people. Like, we really, really feel that they're special people. And the people that get drawn to us usually have been through a lot of things. Like, we get DMs every day of people struggling, finding strength in our music. And this girl, she... Yeah, I get emotional talking about it. It really hit me like this time.
I can't even imagine. I read it and it hit me.
Yeah. But she had been very, very bullied as a kid. So she decided to commit suicide. Like, she wanted to commit suicide.
Right.
And she jumped 8 floors from a building. But she survived.
Right. As a young girl.
As a young girl. And it's so terrible that humans can be that bad, cruel to each other, that things like that happens. And after this, she's been having seizures. She's obviously struggling from the damage that it did to her.
Yeah.
And she came to the venue. She came to Mercury Lounge, but she couldn't go to the show because she had a seizure before.
While she was at the show, like waiting for you guys to go on stage.
But she left us the necklace, and she wanted her mother to tell us the story.
Right.
She says that our music brings her strength, and that... when she's having really hard times, that's where she goes to find some light in the darkness. And
that's our purpose as well, of creating music. You know?
That's our purpose. And I think it's really hard to take in that, like, you write the song for yourself to, like, pick yourself up. Like, obviously, we're not going
to
lie about that.
Or to understand.
To understand, to, like, hone out meanings of things. And then all of a sudden you realize that this song has reached someone else, and it's actually helping. And that's, I feel, if it's one person, like, that's enough.
That's an amazing story. When I saw that, I mean, you get tears in your eyes. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But I did, like, you were talking about, like, how music has a way of finding you when you need it.
Yeah.
And that's really true.
Yeah.
It really is.
It's like, we're not going to take credit for, like, her finding us, like, her, you know, our music helping her in that sense. Like, I think that music finds you. Music is a force of nature. Music is something spiritual. So I think maybe our music found her when she needed it the most. So other people find other artists when they need it the most. And yeah, we're just humbled that she found us.
I was going to say, how does, like, when you get that necklace and her mom tells you the story?
Yeah.
I don't even know how you process that, other than, you know, like, listen.
It's kind of hard to take in, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you feel like, you know what, I'm proud of this song. It meant a lot to us to write it. But then you see something like that, it's a whole, that's a whole new level.
Yeah, but it's just like, we're going to switch this back and forth, and we're going to keep this necklace.
Oh, like iPods back in the day.
We're going to switch this necklace back and forth, and we're going to keep it, it's more an important reminder to always keep developing and always treat people well. And be as kind as possible.
Yeah.
Like, to the odd birds, as I wrote on Instagram, to the misfits. Like, just listen one extra time. Yeah. And
even the people that you think that, like, everyone.
Yeah, maybe you're a little strange and weird. Like, just listen. Everyone has a story, and we're gonna keep that as a reminder.
We're all a little odd.
Yeah.
We've all got our own little garbage and oddities about us, of course.
But we need to teach children about bullying, and we need to teach adults about bullying.
I thought it was a great story. So. I love the story. Let me switch gears. I'll pick things up a little bit. You guys did a cover of Whitney Houston's song, "I Want to Dance with Somebody."
Yes.
How'd you end up there?
I mean, like, we...
What cover didn't we do?
Okay.
And then we ended up there.
So basically, it's like, when we're on stage... No, but when we're on stage, we say, like, we did the only thing you can't do, right? like do a cover of like the world's best song like that. That's like a big no.
It's and then Forbidden like, Land.
It's Forbidden Land, and we were like, should we do it? It's like, let's do it, because we love the song and it's like easy for us because we just love it,
you know? Right. Yeah. So that's the whole bit, like you never do a cover of
We never thought that we would release a cover, but then we were playing around like backstage and Victor tuned the guitar in a certain way, like an open chord. And then you started singing, I want to dance with somebody. And then like all of a sudden it like colored the
lyrics. The lyrics started to mean something else. Yeah,
the lyrics started to become quite like bluesy in a way. Like they were like
the hope
I want to dance with somebody.
Hope for being loved and, you know.
Right, sure. Yeah.
I've been all right up till now. You know,
everybody's crying. Oh my God. It's
kind of like, it's interesting. Like when you switch the costume of a song, the meaning of the song actually also changes.
No, but it's true. Like even like while you're listening to it, you have to like look and go like, yeah, no, that is, I want to dance with somebody. Okay. It sounds obviously like the Whitney version, but nowhere close to the Whitney version. Mm-hmm. That's hysterical though. Yeah. Hey, let's go do something that we're not supposed to do.
And it's actually
also a songwriter.
And actually today it's number one in Sweden in radio.
It's number one on radio.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh my God! Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
Oh, go you! Yeah. Go you! Random question for you: did you ever find your old Polish tour manager named Kuba?
You've done your research so well.
Thank you.
We have like a sound. If he's out there somewhere, what will we do, Maria?
That's how he ended every sentence.
Yeah.
He's a fantastic man. We still talk about him.
He was a fantastic man. He was a beautiful man. And then he had like
balsam hair.
You know when you don't put like anything in your hair after you showered.
Yeah. No
mousse, no hairspray, nothing.
Right.
So we call that a conditioner hair.
Right. Okay.
Like it's very just.
All of a sudden,
fluffy.
I feel like you're not looking me in the eyes anymore. But
you have some gel. I can see.
Like a lion.
Very good.
It looks a little bit like a lion.
Yeah. So it's just all out and all over.
It's all
the place.
Out, and it's like very fluffy.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I gotcha.
And he had that, and it was just flowing in the wind. And then he was like, after every sentence, he, especially when he got a little bit like,
excited,
what am I going to do here? Or I'm excited. He did. And we just love him.
Where we are.
All right,
where we are. Kuba, find us.
So Smith and Tell will kind of finish up this little run of the tour through the U.S. Then what are you guys gonna what do we do next?
What
do we do next? Like after you finish this little run through the U.S., the states, then what do we do? The
a
rest
little
of
bit of rest, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that's fine.
We're going to go into the studio. We're going to make bangers. We're going to work.
That's what you want to hear. Okay, we can do that.
I'm actually going to go down to the countryside and hang out with...
Don't say boyfriend. Don't say boyfriend. Jesus Christ, he's sitting right there.
Exactly, Maria. Come on.
I'm going to hang out with my sister and her dog.
And her boyfriend.
And my boyfriend. My boyfriend.
Oh, that's okay. Victor and I are going to go hang out with hundreds of women.
Okay,
hundreds of women.
You want to hear a funny story?
To make it like even more crazy?
Okay, so
like,
the bassist player that he's in the band.
Right.
That's her new boyfriend.
Yeah.
He plays with
my boyfriend
us
plays
every
in the
night.
Band.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, and we
love
him.
We're just a big happy family of weirdos.
He's a good cook as well.
Hey, hang in there, buddy. Your turn's coming. Hang in there.
No.
Ah, hey, my man.
This will have to be enough.
All right, give me one more song. We'll get you guys out of here.
Okay.
Vet du bestämmer lite bara?
Yeah.
Can we just tune in a little bit?
Yeah, sure.
I can say something about this song.
Yeah.
Yeah, please do.
Tune. This story is it's a metaphor about a hotel, like that life is for rent and that you check in and you check out. If you listen closely to the lyrics, it actually starts from birth, then you go and become a teenager, and then you're older. So the verse, like the lyrics, follow a timeline. And we wrote it for my sister, that she's living in heaven now. She became 37 years old.
Right.
Yeah.
How old was she when she, if I can ask?
Yeah.
How old was she when she passed away?
37.
37?
Yeah. And this was 3 years ago.
I got you. Yeah. From cancer.
From cancer, yeah.
Correct.
So there was a lot, we were thinking a lot about life and death, and it has been very yeah, she has been very present in our music over the years.
Now. Sure.
And she gives us strength to keep going. She was our first. She was our first like diehard fan. She came to every show. She encouraged us to keep writing music. She like she came, became Victor's adopted sister, like my extra mom, mother, best friend.
Right.
And she was the one that's like keep going. You know.
And also she said like the last thing she said to us is also like whatever you do, you guys need to stay together.
Yeah.
Like you need to be like
friends. As a band, as a band,
also
right?
Friends.
Yeah,
you need
sure.
To stay friends.
Forgive each other and like you know.
The most important thing in life is being able to forgive. So you stay friends and you do music, and you're gonna have a long and happy life.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right, so here we go. Smith and Tell.
I signed the papers. Lifelong lease. I rent the earth where I stand and the air I breathe. Then you forget the deal you made with God while busy finding yourself, being young, being dumb, and in love. It's all too easy. You're easily bored, yeah. Never once has it crossed your mind the life's too short. And there's a third person walking behind us, a tap on the back and it's there to remind us life is a blink of an eye till you are no more. So I stand back and I watch us fall as we break everything inside these hotel walls. Life's for rent and it coppers out. So I hand back the keys, the doorman bows. They greet you welcome. Roses and champagne. When you walk through the lobby, they'll know your name. But oh, beautiful things come with edges and thorns. And the body you borrowed is starting to look kind of worn. So I stand back. As we break everything inside these hotels, last for rent and it covers out. So I hand back the keys, the doorman bows. 'Cause we're just queens in the universe. I let them come for me when I'm anxious. This life, it's beautifully ugly at times. And we're just grains in the universe. I let them comfort me when I'm anxious. This life, it's beautifully ugly at times. 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 It's beautifully ugly at times.
Take it to the chorus.
It's beautifully ugly at times. It's beautifully ugly at times. It's beautifully ugly at times. It's beautifully ugly at times.
Should we do it like
that?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I stand back and I watch us fall. As we break everything inside these hotel walls, life's for rent and it called us out. So I hand back the keys, the doorman bows.
Thank you guys so much for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Really, really appreciate it. Smith & Tell tonight in Philly. I Feel It in the Wind is the new single. Thank you for staying over instead of just going straight up to Philly. Really
Thank
appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And good news, we're going to open a Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
We got it. Oh, no. Whatever I'm supposed to say. All right, give me a quick break. It's Elliot in the Morning.